Psalm 91:16, Satisfied Life, Part 2. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So right there, now this is the Bible. This is not a word of faith thing. Are y'all looking at it? It says long life, so you're not supposed to die young. And it says, I will satisfy him. So there can be satisfaction while you're here on the earth. You should live satisfied. Amen. You're not supposed to be living in misery all the time. You're supposed to be satisfied. Amen. Now, so far, if you weren't here Wednesday night, you'll have to go back and listen to it. But we talked about what to do to live satisfied life. Number one was take your place at Father's table. And then number two was don't sweat the small stuff. Don't be sweating the small. Don't get offended over every little thing. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't sweat any stuff, actually. So today we're going to talk about number three, which is getting on the right road. Get on the right road. So number one, take your place at Father's table. Number two, don't sweat the small stuff or any stuff. And number three is get on the right road. Now, Philippians 1:28, Jesse Wesley's going to put it up here, says, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Don't be intimidated. This will be a sign to them. Okay? It's going to be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed. But you're going to be saved even by God himself. Don't flinch. People that I know that have taken the martial arts and stuff, they say you never let your enemy see you flinch. I'm winning. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about enemy being people. Yeah, the enemy uses people. I'm talking about the enemy of darkness, the devil. He has people say things. Sometimes people say things and they didn't even say it wrong. You just take it wrong. True. Then sometimes people say, we're already on the rough water, so I'll go on. They say stupid things. Yes. Or ignorant things. They do. You just got to watch how you take it. Right? Mm-hmm. And you got to remember who's doing this. Somewhere along the lines, the enemy wants you to be offended.
Right.
He wants you to get sick. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to get in fear. Whatever it is, that's his job. That's what he does. We don't have to take it, and you can let them know by going, no, No, it isn't happening. Listen, dreams of destiny rarely include a visit to the dentist. Would you say amen to that? You didn't go, oh, going to the dentist. No, you didn't. I mean, none of us imagine God's plan for our life and say, and the dentist, I'll be in there with a white paper bib around my neck. My mouth will be wide open and I'll hear drilling in both of my ears. That's not what you're dreaming of, is it? And not one of us think that's an essential part of our satisfied life. I don't think so. And it's just as far as I'm concerned, it shouldn't be. The Bible doesn't say anything about dental work, okay? However, there are scriptures to help us with dental work, and here's the one. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So this is particularly interesting to the dentists in the room. But I mean, this verse is really helpful. When you're sitting in their room and they walk out and say, the dentist will see you now. You're like, I'm going to be of good cheer. I have overcome. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
And yeah, listen, it's not a life or death situation unless you read a story that was in the London paper a long time ago. You probably didn't, but I know about it. There was this woman, and she was going to the dentist, and she took her daughter with her to the dentist, and she's in the chair, and the daughter's watching the dentist work on the lady's teeth, and the lady has a heart attack and dies. And the daughter saw this. Well, the daughter then had fear about that. Now, understand, the dentist and the dental work had nothing to do with the heart attack. That was coming from another situation. But in this little girl's mind, in her mind, in her house, that's where the rat got in, right? In her mind, she said, if I ever go to the dentist, I'll have a heart attack and die. So I'm not going. So she spent years and years and years, didn't ever go to the dentist, didn't do anything. But finally her teeth got so bad, she decided to go to the dentist, but she had a plan. She said, I'm going to take my doctor with me. And so she's going to take her doctor with her. And so the dentist began to work on her, and her fears finished theirs, because she died of a heart attack the same way her mother did. And so because her soul created the very circumstances that she spent her whole life avoiding. Did you hear what I just said? Her soul created the circumstances that she spent her whole life avoiding. She stayed in fear all the time about it. Fear all the time. What if this happened? What if this happened? And it did happen. And so the title of the article actually said, Killed by 30 Years of Thought. Killed by 30 years of thought. See, the journalist actually captured the absolute truth. This is no freak coincidence. It wasn't some unexplainable twist of faith. Fate, not faith. Fate. But actually, this is really just a dramatic snapshot of a universal truth in operation. The truth that echoes throughout the Bible repeatedly. For as he thinketh, so is he. That's what the scripture says. As he thinketh, so is he. However you think it's gonna be, that's gonna lead you to what's gonna happen. Your thinking matters. That's Proverbs 23:7. Matthew 8:13 says, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you have believed, it has happened. Because you have believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. Matthew 9:29 says, then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it'll happen. So whatever you're fearing for, whatever you're faithing for, whatever you're believing, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're saying creates the path of where you're going to end up. So if nobody loves you and everybody hates you and you hate everybody, you did that. That's right. It is. You thinking about it?
Yeah.
I wish that I could just get into everyone's head and tell them, look, it's you. It's you doing this. You're causing all of this. Are other people doing stuff? Yeah. But you don't have to you don't have to take it. Don't take the care. You don't have to take it. Well, I've just put myself in the position that I have to. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're just creating the mess yourself. That's why, you know, I've done on Wednesday night the teachings and stuff about the cross life. The cross life means you get self out of center, put Jesus in the center, and when you have a Christ-centered life, what are you saying? I reckon myself dead to whatever comes along because I died myself, my old yucky self, died on the cross, and you can't hurt a dead man. That way you won't get offended. That way you won't get mad. That way you won't feel rejected. Nope. Can't hurt me. And the new you can just love. It's just one of the greatest things I ever learned. It's really helped me. It's helped me along with, it's none of my business whether you love me. It's my business to love you. Those two things have helped me so much. And whatever the situation is, well, we're going down. We're going down financially. Well, we're going to go down. No, you're not. Not unless you say you are all the time.
Yeah.
Forgive me for being blunt, but shut that up.
Yeah.
We're going higher. We're being blessed. God loves you. He wants to bless you. I feel like I need to stop right here and tell somebody something. I'm going to tell you right now. Church, get out of sin consciousness. Jesus paid for your sins. You have been forgiven. You are free today.
Yes.
You're free. You don't know what I did yesterday. I have blotted out your transgressions. Today's a new day. That's why I love what Brother Hagin said. Brother Hagin said, before you start judging someone, you don't know that they didn't repent yesterday. Well, so-and-so is doing so-and-so. Well, you don't know what happened between them and God yesterday. That'll preach, won't it? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, why don't we just live? There's birds and flowers and trees and beauty and happy smiles and kids are running around everywhere and we live by a lake and life is good and y'all have a pretty mama and a handsome daddy. I mean, praise the Lord. Think about all the good. Look at Ronnie sitting there just smiling. And I mean, think about that. You get to come to Victory Church and any day now you'll be driving your car down here and you can come pick me up, take me for a ride in it. Life doesn't have to be so hard.
That is right.
It's a song by Doyle's daughter. Praise the Lord. Maybe just try to think on some good things. Just try to think on the fact that God has blessed you and you've been able to help some people. Think about you. Yeah, we gave away some microgreens this week. Somebody got some health in their body.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, Deb picked 3 feet of green beans yesterday. The harvest is in. I dug up the potatoes and they've come along well. I'm going to Rome this year. I'm going to go on a cruise this year to the Mediterranean. I'm going to go to Ephesus and see where Mary and John were and where Timothy had his church. I am a Timothy. God is good. You're going to do something fun. I'm going out to see Jim and Misty. Going to go to a tent meeting. And look at all that land out there. There's just good things to do. Like, well, I don't like any of that stuff. Well, think about what you like. Just tell me what I like. Okay, I'll get back to preaching. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we just got to talk about, hey, think about heaven. You're going to heaven one day. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Get caught. That, see, y'all think when I sang that, y'all thought Bethel, but we don't. We heard that song back a whole many years ago. So quit playing around, Pastor, and preach. Hey. Those verses are not supposed to inspire gloom. They're supposed to tell you this is how you need to be thinking. They shine with empowering upside. I can actually think and speak and the will of God will come back me up. I can actually do that. I can say the cream rises to the top. You're like, well, you sure are braggy. No, no, I'm just a child of God. I give God all the glory. I didn't do it. He's done it. Amen. Praise the Lord. If that lady would just understood that, it would have changed everything for her. I will not fear. I will not let fear in. I'm not afraid. You need to start saying that. Yeah. Look in the mirror and say, you're not afraid. There's just so many things that people look at and it is just a shadow and it's nothing. And you're just letting the shadow eat your life up. This is, I'm talking to somebody. Stop letting this shadow of junk eat your life up. Yeah. I think about Jesse. not this Jesse or that Jesse. I'm thinking about Jesse Duplantis when he went to preach and he was staying in the house with those people. And he went to bed in that bedroom and he said he saw a devil in the corner. And he said the devil was in the corner and every once in a while he'd go, oh. He said he was praying and doing everything he could. And when he woke up the next morning, it was the air conditioning blowing on a coat that was on a rack in the corner. Do y'all know that's what's going on? I mean, just,
that's so good.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, people say this to me. Yeah, even recently someone said this to me. You should hear what they said about you. And I just went, don't tell me. And I just walked away. Why? What's the use in knowing? Why do I want to get poisoned with what they, it'll be hearsay anyway.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So all of these scriptures that we're talking about here, they inform us that we have the capacity to use our thoughts to create our own future.
Yeah.
Our destiny is not imposed on us by forces beyond our control. We have a part in it. It's something that we choose. You're going to choose your destiny. Most religious people think their destiny is solely in the hands of the Lord. Well, listen to me, church, because there's somebody here who actually believes this. Whatever God wants, God's in control. God's in control. No, he's not. He's in control if you let him be in control. The devil could be in control. It's going to depend on what you do. And let me tell you why. Because God gave Adam authority. And Adam birthed you. And now you have authority on this earth. You can choose God or you can choose darkness. But it's going to be up to you to choose. God has respected you so much that if you chose to go to hell, he would let you. He gave you a free will. That's how much he gave you your own authority. So people that just say God's in control, you need to get that out of your thinking. He can be in control. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty and live with him and obey him and go after what he's going after, then he can be in control. But you have to give him control. Every day, that's right, Margaret. We play a key role. God offers a good plan. He is offering you a summer of surprises, of suddenlies. Or you can, you know, just, you know, let some trauma hijack you. Let some offense hijack you. Some hate hijack you. Some symptom hijack you. Or you can have a good summer. I'm going to have one. Praise the Lord. A lot of people miss God's plan for their destiny. It's like that woman. She let that trauma. You know, I've told you before, my mother was very ill by the time I was 5 years old. I could have let illness take my life. I could have followed right through her path. Well, she had that, so I probably have that. Well, she had this. I was telling Deb the other day, I said, man, I flew right past my parents' death dates.
Glory.
I flew right past them. Yeah. They both died in their 60s. That shouldn't have been, but they didn't know what we know.
Right.
They just thought whatever, just, you know, it's just going to, must be God. It's quiet in the church. Now, people mentally take the wrong turn, and then that guides them into physically taking the wrong turn. Okay?
Yeah.
We don't want to do that. Instead of taking the road that God intended them to take, they stumble onto another, and then they wind up somewhere disappointed and unsatisfying, and then God never intended for them to go that way. truth be told, if we, you know, we've all taken detours, haven't we? We have. One time or another, we're barreling down life's highway and we get distracted and we miss some crucial road sign. You know, where it says exit here for God's will, and, you know, we miss the exit and then we bump down some God-forsaken back road. Yeah, we've all been there. We've all been there. Amen. But that doesn't mean that we spend our whole lives out in the middle of nowhere. You can get back on the road. A few missed opportunities aren't the end of the line. Maybe you missed a few things where you, I feel like I probably could have answered God's call earlier in my life. I didn't answer until I was in my late 30s. But I do feel like, which was not very long ago, by the way. I'm going to make every minute count now. Let's just do it now. Let's just get it going now. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But let me say this to you, church. I believe you will not miss your opportunities. I believe that. I believe you won't. You know, James, the brother of Jesus, he rejected Jesus' earthly ministry. He was doing some good stuff, but he didn't serve Jesus. He didn't see it. He missed a whole lot of opportunity to minister with him until after the resurrection. But, you know, here's a fact. Everybody know where Houston is? Everybody? Everybody know where Houston is? Everybody know where I-35 is? You can't get there on I-35. You can drive and you can get on I-35. 45. Well, from here it would be 71 to 10. But praise the Lord. No, that's okay. You can just sit reverently behind the steering wheel and sing Kumbaya. On I-35, you're not going to get to Houston.
Yeah, that's
so. You get that? You can be, I love the Lord, but I'm mad at everyone at Victory Church. So I will take myself away. And you'll kumbaya right on out the door and end up on the back road.
Right.
Or whatever the situation is in life. I'm going to quit my job because that boss, he not the boss of me. Oh, wait, he's the boss. He not the boss of me. I was listening to Keith Moore this morning. He said, God put people in authority over you. This is like the whole society is, nobody's going to boss me around. They told me to do that at my job. I ain't doing it. Well, do those people a favor and quit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jess. You think about I-35 in Houston, it sounds kind of absurd, but you know, truth be told, a lot of people waste their time and resources on roads that never take them anywhere. They never take them anywhere. They just go down a whole new path. Well, you know, my grandmother's buried out in the back of this church, and so I need to stay here my whole life because Granny's out there. Really?
Come on.
There, people do silly things like that. Well, we come from, we do not believe. Well, maybe you need to find out what God believes and go with what he believes. I mean, there's progress in life. I came out of a denominational church. You may have heard of it. It's called Baptist. Anybody heard of that? And they believed wonderful things. I was born again there. There were many good things. A lot of Kool-Aid and cookies. It was great. I went to GAs and juniors and Miss whatever her name was taught us well. And me and my cousin Ricky would sneak out of church and go down to Mamaw's house while Mom and them were in church and stuff like that. You know, a good time, really good time. My uncle actually put the brick up on the church. I mean, it was our home church. I'm probably still on the roll. But one day we ask them about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they quoted us the scripture. It was that scripture that said, they went out from amongst us because they were not of us. So we had to go out from amongst them because they were not going to go with us. So we went down to a little church where we got filled with baptism of the Holy Spirit. And man, I remember I started prophesying 2 weeks after I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Didn't even know what I was doing. I'm like, what's that? You know, but praise God. You move forward sometimes into what you need to do. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that. God will move you forward. I'm not telling you he's moving you out of here. I'm telling you he's moving you in here. Praise the Lord. But you gotta be, yeah, further in. That's good, Deb. But you gotta do what you need to do. But, you know, James did something though, back to the brother of Jesus. He did something that should inspire us all because he made a U-turn. He actually made a U-turn. He was in the upper room with the disciples in Acts 2. He was in the upper room. So he did end up serving Jesus, who was his brother. He missed some opportunities, but he refused to let those missed opportunities define him. He ended up getting in, and so he didn't let the detour derail his destiny. Listen, if the devil's tempting you right now, if the devil's tempting you to derail, don't do it. Get back on, put a smile on your face, and go forward with God. Amen? So, you know, today nobody remembers James as the brother of Jesus. His legacy is James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote a book. Amen? The book of James. So he holds a place with the most influential leaders. So he may have missed it at the beginning, but then he got in. He did a turnaround. So if you missed it somewhere, turn around. It's never too late. Never too late. That's the wonderful thing about grace. Whether you're 9 or 90, you can turn around. If you missed it 95 times, you can still turn around. Jesus is still right there with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's not against you. Well, you don't know what I've done. See, that's the devil bugging you with that. Because Jesus is not looking at what you've done, except what you've done good. And then he's like, look at them. Isn't that great? He's not looking at the rest of it. Church, the blood canceled it. And the blood is still in the throne room of God, cleansing you every day. It's cleansing you. You're free. You're free. You're free. Jesus loves you right now.
Thank you, Lord. So good.
Remember Gideon's story? Midian and Amalek are going to go, they're attacking Israel and destroying their crops and stealing their cattle and their sheep and their donkeys, etc. And so Israel cries out for help. And they wanted, you know, God, send a big angel and come in here and just wipe them out. That's what they're praying. That's what they want. But God didn't do it that way. He had a different way he wanted to do things. And so this is something very important now. If you didn't get anything else from all of our fun we've had this morning and all of our truths, get this. They're crying out for help. And this is what God said to them. Very important. The enemy was not their problem. That's secondary. He's the one doing it. But you have charge. You have charge. People are not your problem. You're not fighting flesh and blood. They're being used by the enemy. The enemy's trying to get in. But their problem, they had a different problem here. They lost sight of what God had done for them. They forgot the word. They forgot all the good things. How quick do people forget the good things? I'm always amazed at that. I'm always amazed at how people automatically forget what good you've done for them and go to the bad. Isn't that interesting how it's like a magnet? It's like, you know, I was thinking about the lady who came here for a long time, and she was trying to make it and struggling and everything, but she couldn't make it. And Sweet Virginia, you know, loaned her car every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, for a year. And we gave all kinds of things, and then that lady left, and we heard from out on the street, Victory Church never did anything for me. Isn't that amazing how they'll get mad at something and then it'll just begin to grow and grow and grow until you never did. That friend of mine never did anything good for me. Da, 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 da. It's amazing. But see, it's not the enemy's decision. He may be planting that in you, but you don't have to take it. Remember what God has done. Remember how God can deliver. And so that's what happened here. They forgot it. I mean, doesn't that sound familiar? They lost sight of what they had with God. So, you know, Christians start trembling at the devil's threats because they've forgotten that Jesus has conquered principalities and powers. And he's made an open show of them. They don't get to win. Church, just go ahead and give people a break. You know, you judge yourself by your good intentions and other people by all the junk you think they've done. Go ahead and give them a break. No stone throwing. You know, we've lived like victims instead of like New Testament, the New Testament declares. Here's 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God is greater than you, than them on the inside of you. You're not alone.
That's right.
You and God together, you're the majority.
That's right.
It doesn't mean there can be 480,000 people against you that the devil's yelling at you with. Doesn't matter. If God is on your side, you win.
Right.
Get your mind on that.
Yeah.
Get your thoughts on that. Amen. Anyway, I don't have time to tell the whole story of Gideon, but let me just put it like this. He was a wimp. And God called him a mighty man of valor. He called him something different. So, he asked the Lord, if he was sure he had the right guy, me? Because I mean, remember he's hiding, doing things in the, I think it was a wine press and doing, in fact, he was doing the wrong thing that you do in wine presses. I think he was doing something with grain or something. But anyway, he had it messed up there. But anyway, it's like, are you sure? I'm sure. Now listen, we're going to cut to the chase here because I don't have time to preach on that because I've said too much. This is what he said. What God said to him. I love it when God ignores your excuses. And just tells you, no, this. Because he's like, Gideon here, you know. And this is how Gideon made the dramatic change. He fixed his thoughts on what God said. He fixed his dreams and his faith on divine facts. And this is what God told him. God is with you. You are a champion. You will be victorious. God is with you. You are a champion. You will be victorious. God is with you. You are a champion and you will be victorious. Set your mind on that. If you're looking for that entrance rail, that ramp onto the right road, lock onto those truths. Lock onto those. Meditate on those every single day. Take them with you everywhere you go. Even to the dentist. They're going to steer you away from disaster, church. They're going to steer you away from that. They're going to guide you. You're going to end up going straight toward your destiny, not one that you dreaded. The one you're going to go to the one you dreamed of. Go to the one you dreamed of. The one God planned for you in his great love and goodness before the foundation of the world. God is with me. Is he with you?
Yes.
Did this say he was with us?
Yes.
Did this say we were champions?
Yes.
What did it say? I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me enough to die for me. That's what a champion is.
Yeah.
But listen, it said more than a conqueror. What's up with that? How can you, I'm a conqueror. Jesus is the conqueror. Now don't, let me say this whole thing before you get mad. Don't write me any ugly letters. Jesus is a conqueror. We're more than a conqueror. You're like, how? Well, because we got the blessing from the conquering. When the prize fighter goes into fight, he's all pumped up. He goes in there. Poof, poof, poof. He boxes the guy, whatever it is they do. I don't know. Knocks that guy out. Dun, 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 dun. They're ringing the bell. They bring him the big old ugly buckle that they like. Da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden they come out with they make the big check in a big old thing. They come out with the $5 million. And the real check, they come out with it and he's dun, da, 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 conqueror, conqueror. And then he walks back. He's got his pretty shiny coat on, waving at the audience. Everything's good. He walks in there and his wife's standing there like this. He's a conqueror. She's more than a conqueror. She got the check. Now that Jesus has done everything for you. Everything. It is finished. He says you're a champion. He says he's with you. He said you will be victorious. Say that. Say, I am a champion. God is with me. I will be victorious. Look at somebody and say, God is with me. Look at somebody else and say, I'm a champion. Look at somebody else and say, I will be victorious. Point at them and say, you will be victorious. You will be victorious. You are a champion. Don't quit. Church, when we get there, even today in the spirit realm right now, the only losers are quitters.
That's right.
If you won't quit, you're like, yeah, Pastor, I keep falling. It's not about that. Get back up.
Yeah.
You're not going to do everything perfect. It'll be all right. You'll make it. You didn't throw your children away just because they fell off their bike one time.
No.
Or smarted off.
That's right.
You didn't throw them away. He loves you. He loves you. He's looking at you like the greatest daddy. Oh, look at them. They're just so great. I just love my kids. They go and give you your little face and get up and give you a little kiss. That's how God is. He's a good daddy. He will correct you. He seems to use me a whole lot for that. He gets on me, I get on you. Take it or leave it. It's your choice. But God is good. He's a good God. He's not the troublemaker. He's a good God. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's one of the biggest problems in the church. Help everybody, church. Help people. No, read the scripture. When they tell you, God gave me cancer. No. God doesn't have cancer. God doesn't have sickness. God doesn't have debt. God doesn't have anything that's dark. The Bible says he's a good God and that he's the father of lights and that he gives good and perfect gifts. It's the enemy killing and stealing, killing and destroying. It's the enemy doing that. But the church has lived under this thing. Let me explain this in case there's somebody new watching. The Church of the Living God had faith failures. And so because they had some faith failures, they weren't completely getting what they wanted. They decided to go ahead and blame that on God.
Yeah.
Come on and say, he's sovereign. He's sovereign. But God said, the just shall live by faith.
Right.
That's what God said. You have to have faith that he's the healer. You have to have faith that he'll bring justice. You have to have faith that he'll get you out of debt. You have to have faith in these things. And so when that doesn't happen, then they just go back and make their own doctrine up about that. And then they use Job's turkey and Paul's thorn to back that up. There's not really a turkey, okay? That's a joke. Where's that turkey? There really is a thorn, but it was a messenger. We've read the Bible. It's a messenger of Satan. And he was yapping, yapping, yapping. Was it a woman or a man? Someone who followed him. I can't think. There was two different people. But he had to finally shut them up. Yeah, but it said, my grace is sufficient. Yeah, God's saying, Paul, quit looking at me. You've got authority. Tell that thing to leave. That's what he was doing. But see, people that don't understand God's authority and they don't think that God is good and they don't understand faith. And so they go back into all these silly doctrines. And then you'll even hear faith people say, you know, I don't understand why so-and-so died. I guess it was just their time. No. No! It's not right. It's not just someone's time until they say it's their time.
That's right.
The truth is sometimes you get kicked out of your body before you finish faithing. That's happened to people. There are life failures. My parents died too early. Why? Ignorance. They didn't know.
Yeah.
They believed those doctrines.
Yeah.
We're going to pray for the sick. We'll remember them this week that if it's God's will, now he'll heal them. That is not the right prayer. It is God's will to heal.
Yes.
It's the children's bread. Jesus already paid for that, church. He already paid for you to be healed. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed.
Yes.
You were healed. According to Peter, you were healed.
Yes.
That means it's already been paid for. Walk up and take it.
Yes.
It's been decided. It's been decided that all you have to do is choose. Well, you know, I don't understand. You know, y'all keep talking about we're the righteousness of God. Yeah. That's who we are. God made us that. We didn't do it on our own. Our righteousness is his filthy rags. But Jesus paid the price so you could be righteous. That's who you are. You're in right standing with God. Right now you're in right standing with God. Well, you know, I just think everybody's mad at me. Well, everybody better get over it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because God's not mad at you.
That's right.
Come on.
Come on.
Move forward.